Good job, America.
What happened?
We were just talking about how, like, from the course of, like, whenever Lincoln was assassinated, 1863, 1864, till Kennedy, there were four U.S. presidents were assassinated over the course of 100 years. We've gone 50 years without having a single president assassinated. They tried with good old Reagan, but they failed.
They failed.
He. Yeah. And so it's been 50 years. You know, fingers crossed, so... That'd be like if we go another 50 years without a president being assassinated. That's a pretty good run. It got to a point there, like in the between Lincoln, Garfield, and McKinley. No, not Garfield. Who was the other one?
You guys said Garfield.
Was it Garfield? Okay, it was Garfield, McKinley. That was like three presidents assassinated over the course of like 40 or 50 years. That's kind of freaky.
Yes.
Though they shot at Ford? Who shot at Ford?
Yeah, they shot.
Where'd they shoot at him?
Gerald Ford?
Yeah.
They shot at Gerald Ford. Hang on a second. I have this up. On September 5th of 1975, a follower of Charles Manson drew out a Colt 45 on Ford when he reached to shake her hand.
Wow.
Apparently, none of the bullets were in the firing chamber, so the gun did not fire. A little bit later, 17 days, Sarah Jane Moore, so all women, toxic femininity, firing a revolver at Gerald Ford from 40 feet away, but a bystander grabbed her arm, and the shot missed Ford, striking a building wall and injuring a taxi driver.
Was she another Manson follower?
No, she was not.
Manson is so prolific. I just keep learning more about this guy. He is a busy beaver.
I want Tyrod Taylor to back up Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity to improve the backup quarterback spot because, to me, I think the Texans got a little bit lucky that Deshaun did not get hurt to the point where he had to miss a game in 2018. And so I went back last night going through Hard Knocks just to give you evidence of how much Tyrod Taylor, mobile quarterback, iOS, a bunch of starting experience in the NFL, is Texans worthy. This is somebody, they asked him about watching Hard Knocks, and here's what he had to say.
Where will you be for Hard Knocks tonight? Are you excited about it? What's your view on that?
I'll be sleep.
You sleeping at 10 o'clock? What time do you go to bed?
Just depends.
This is somebody who doesn't need the spotlight. One of the things you want in a backup quarterback is somebody who doesn't need the spotlight for themselves. This is somebody who can easily take a back seat to the stardom of Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that would be an issue at all. Even if he desperately wants to be a starter, I don't think that there's not one part of him that wouldn't like really latch onto the role of being a mentor and teaching Deshaun what he could teach him and everything. The personality fit would be great. It's hard to find a guy who's young... is starting caliber, like, okay, do you want him as your starter? No, but he's starting caliber, you could argue. If you found out tomorrow that some team was starting Tyrod Taylor, you're not like, oh my God, what are they doing? They're failing. Like, okay, he's a placeholder quarterback until you find what you want. And then it's just a matter of, I guess, how much money do you want to spend? How much money are you going to... Are you going to actually go out and compete for the services of a backup quarterback? Are you willing to spend a whole bucket load of money while you have your quarterback on your rookie contract? And your backup could be making more than your starter.
I'll just spend standard backup quarterback money. That's my answer to that question, without knowing the particulars.
So you're not going to go out and,
this is the good thing about Taylor. He's not going to get a starting gig this season where last season he would have, because he got the one from the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
I don't think anyone's going to fool themselves into thinking that Tyrod Taylor's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL anymore, because he hasn't done anything recently to really merit that. Where with Nick Foles, who I think is better suited as a backup quarterback, he actually has done enough to maybe get another shot as a starting quarterback.
Well, I mean, recently, it's just been a one-year layoff. You're starting in Buffalo. They made the playoffs. They had that weird Nathan Peterman experience. So it's not like you can win with Tyrod Taylor. It's just that he's in that zone where people are going to look at him as a placeholder. Whoever's drafting a quarterback in the first round this year, the Jacksonville Jaguars, depending on if they really decide to bite the bullet with Blake Bortles, might do something like say, like, all right, we're going all in. We're going to sign Tyrod Taylor. We're going to see what we can get in the draft. And there you have it. We're set at quarterback. At the very least, you know what? Because with Tyrod Taylor, Jacksonville has an issue right now, which is that they gave a bucket load of money to a guy who's not a good quarterback.
Yes.
And guys on that team, the mix of personalities on that team in Jacksonville is likely very unhappy about that situation. At the very least, with Tyrod Taylor, you got like all the things you just said about him. Like, he can do the same things Blake Bortles did and take care of the football.
Yes.
guys will like him and know that at least, okay, this guy's our quarterback for now. We'll fight for this guy versus Blake Bortles, who maybe they don't even like. So there's that. And then also it takes some of the pressure off of whoever. Like, maybe they don't get a quarterback until late first round because of a trade back or something. I don't know.
While we're discussing placeholder quarterbacks, did anyone see that this week John Elway essentially called Case Keenum a stopgap quarterback, a short-term option at quarterback?
I did see that.
He said that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was a little bit interesting coming from John Elway.
It was, he speaks very candidly.
Yeah, and he said that Vance Joseph was a bad hire.
Yeah, he said it was a mistake.
I wonder if Case might be one of those guys who also just thrives being the underdog. And if I'm going to give Elway credit for being more diabolical than he probably is, maybe he's thinking, look, Case always needs that chip on his shoulder. Like, Case is like, nice as he is and as down to earth as he is, like, I read his book, he's got that little bit of, you know, axe to grind,
of course,
in a good way. Like, he's out to prove that he can do it. And that was his career at Houston in a lot of respects, just because it was always the injuries or what have you, and just the fact that he played at Houston, so he's in the underdog role in terms of how the national media saw him. And obviously throughout the NFL.
I don't think Case would be a guy who'd be bothered by... I think he would be bothered by John Elway saying that, but I think he would use it in the right way.
In a productive way. Yes. I always felt like David Garrard was kind of like that. Remember David Garrard would like come in as a backup and he'd be really good, but then they'd name him the starter and everything would fizzle. And then he'd get benched and then all of a sudden he'd come in again and he'd be really good.
You know, I remember I was so high on him after the close to the season where he had that playoff victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, he trucked us here at home. I was injured that year. I remember watching from this from somebody's suite and being like, holy crap, I'm glad I don't have to tackle that big beast of a man.
And if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't Garrard's fault that they lost to the Patriots the next round. It was that the Patriots, I think Brady was like 26-28 or something in the divisional round. Yeah.
So what can they do? Why Tyrod Taylor is Texans worthy? You guys remember this clip? This is an example of what Tyrod Taylor does. He sets the example for other people in the locker room with his work ethic.
Stay late, arrive early. It's the only way to get better. Rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield has seen the light.
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
You ever come in with your boy, Five?
He does his own little workouts in the morning.
Where's your little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your little workout in the morning?
Have you changed anything after you had that talk with you?
Yeah, that was the first day. I've gotten here a lot earlier than I did that day. You know, that's just something that I'm learning through this process as well.
O'Brien's always talking about the quarterback room and how those guys like each other. I think it's important to have somebody like Tyrod Taylor, people like, who's also going to, not that Deshaun has issues with work ethic, but you know that Tyrod Taylor is going to get there so early that it makes people think, when do I need to get into this building to make sure we are all committed to winning as much as possible?
That's the part of the modern NFL that I wonder about the most, because there's always been this, you know, the work ethic of you want to be the first guy in there and the last guy to leave. You want to be there for 14 hours a day. But also now, as people are realizing how important sleep is, like, I feel you have to be one or the other. You got to either be you're in early or a stay late guy, because otherwise you end up being, you're burning the candle at both ends of the stick. Like, Tom Brady talks about this a lot, about how it's not as much about working the longest hours, it's about figuring out exactly what's your ideal, like, how much can I work and pack in a certain amount of time, but then also get enough rest. So you got to be one or the other. I was always a get there extremely early guy, and I feel like I suffered because of it. I would encourage Baker Mayfield to not necessarily get in. Like, don't necessarily be
a stay late guy.
I guess the stay late guys. Plus, if you're talking about being a kiss ass, the coaches see you when you're staying late.
Yeah.
They see you. Where in the morning, they're doing their own thing up in the office. So, like, you're in watching film, like, in darkness for 2 hours.
They don't see it.
But then what happens, too, is, like, I always felt my body clock was messed up for nighttime games.
Yeah.
Because I'd always be in the facility. I'd like to come in early and watch film, like, starting at about 4:30 in the morning and, like, get the game plan, get my workout out of the way and everything. So, like, I basically had a bunch of studying in. But the problem is, you got to go to bed at 9 p.m.
Yes.
To do that. So then all of a sudden you're playing on Monday Night Football and you're like, oh, I'm sleepy. This is
I'm so tired.
You're at the halftime and you're like, gosh, I'd really like to beat the crap out of somebody, but I'm so tired.
One more. Here, this is my case to bring in Tyrod Taylor. Why he is Texas worthy as a backup quarterback. This is somebody who recognizes the opportunities that are in front of him.
Starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor is prepping for this week's game against the Bills. He took Buffalo to the playoffs last year. Then they promptly traded him.
You never know how you're going to respond until you put through those things. And I think the way I was raised definitely helped me with the bunch that went on in Buffalo. Teaches me, of course, about the game, but more about life. So I think it's made me appreciate the opportunity here.
So think about it. He's been through adversity. You always want to see players who have been through that. He also refers to the way he was raised. Bill O'Brien's always obsessed with how he wants people to come from good backgrounds and good families. Tyrod Taylor has a good family.
There you go, Tyrod Taylor. He's the
solution.
He's the hope and the solution for the potential 2 to 4 game stretch that he might have to pay.
That we dearly hope he does not play.
But now, thanks to Nick Foles, I feel I owe something to Nick Foles in that last year I was the biggest guy of like, this is a one-off situation. It's stupid to worry about your backup quarterback. Who the hell cares? Just have a breathing heartbeat in there and you'll be fine. We're now for 2 years in a row, Nick Foles has given them life and hope at the end of the season. I can't deny it any longer. I care about the backup quarterback. I feel like also Tyrod Taylor, as good a person as you're saying, I feel like he doesn't need a Razor commercial to tell them that if you're at a birthday party for 5-year-olds and one of the 5-year-olds is wailing on the other one, that maybe you should break up the fight.
$500 on the bowl cut. $500. Look at that uppercut he's got.
He hasn't been to any toddler fight clubs like the one depicted by Gillette.
Ooh, we got to get to one of those.
Mike and Cyfair points out that JJ had a bed at the facility, which they feature on Hard Knocks.
Hardo. You guys still think he has that bed? I'm guessing
no. I bet he does.
Definitely.
I'm gonna say no. I know exactly where that bed is. It's a better bed. It's a cool little corner of the we used to drink there during training camp with Todd Wade and Zach Wiegert and a few other guys. That was our little cubbyhole.
JJ's got his girlfriend and those two dogs that they just adopted. I think he's got to focus more on that.
I think the Texans have taken a step forward from that used to be the drinking nook to now it's where JJ grabs a little shut-eye.
You always need a drinking nook, though, I think.